Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Man, there's a lot going on. Larry Fitzgerald just walked onto the golf course over at TPC Scottsdale. Eric is out at that. He said, Eric, get out of here. Go to be with Fitz today. It's not like Larry Fitzgerald is going to stand out there in golf attire and say, I am retiring. But nonetheless, Larry Fitzgerald is going to talk today. So he's out doing some events around Dream Day, which is, guys, if you've never been to the Open on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, it's so much better than being there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It really is. You can get so close to the players, and there's all sorts of charity events going on, athletes all over the place. I'm going to head to the Open after the show today. I'm going to head to the Open tomorrow after the show. And yeah, there's some work stuff to do, but today John Rahm is going to speak. Hideki Matsuyama is going to speak. I'm going to be at that. Phil's talking tomorrow after his practice round, or after the pro-am rather. So there's a lot to get to. LeBron nuking Charles. How great of a story is this? If you haven't heard, or if you're wondering why Charles Barkley and LeBron James are trending on your Twitter feed today, it's a very simple reason. LeBron had enough. He is the new sheriff by his own quote. Charles is a hater. So we're going to get into that as the show progresses today. Very much looking forward to that. National Letter of Intent Day is tomorrow. Biggest day of the year in recruiting, of course. What we've done for the last 5.5 years, Letter of Intent Day, LOI Day, is always big for us. We have a lot of fun with it. We don't go over the top, I would say. We're not that space because we do it year-round. We just don't show up the week of and make a big deal out of it for one day. This is what we do. So it's on our platform. We have our Rock and Refuel recruiting roundup year-round every week with Jason Jewell and Jordan Hamm. And I'm going to have Jason Jordan here in studio. We're going to go sit on the couch here in a bit. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, 7 airings tonight, 7 tomorrow, 4 on Thursday. So 18 airings this week. It's always good to have the partnership in year number 2 with Fox Sports Arizona. And so we have a lot of recruiting stuff, not only today, but you can watch tonight on the show. USC is probably going to land the top player left on the board, Austin Jackson. I'll talk to Jason and Jordan about that. We'll talk about ASU's class, U of A's class. It's my understanding the only quarterback now that U of A is bringing in this year's class is Rhett Rodriguez. They had a quarterback out on the West Coast that ended up decommitting, going to Oregon. They chased a quarterback out in Florida, but from my understanding, it's just going to be Rhett Rodriguez, and that's it for Rich's class this year, which is interesting to me. What else? So on the recruiting front, I'm getting hammered by, and it makes me want to get hammered when this happens, I'm getting hammered by these nitwit U of A fans in basketball that just don't seem to understand that. And I was on this a little bit yesterday, then last night it picked up more momentum. When you lose to a team, which Arizona did to Gonzaga, back on December 5th, I believe it was. When you lose to Gonzaga, it means that you're not better than them. So when a poll comes out, and it's a meaningless who cares poll on January 30th. So when I sit here and say on the air, Gonzaga deserves to be number one. I get the, what about U of A? Oh my gosh, you're hating on Sean Milton. No, I'm not. You lost. Oh, but we didn't have Trier. I don't care about your excuses. It's not Gonzaga's fault they beat you. Oh, but we beat them today. Well, it's not on the schedule. So sorry. You lose all the way across the board. You're not number one. And it's only January 30th. These are the same people that hyperventilate when you beat UCLA in the middle of January. It doesn't mean much. Doesn't mean much. Gives you something to make you feel good about yourself. Then get back to me when we get to the end of February. And then when we get to March Madness. And if somehow, some way you make it through. Do I think U of A has a chance to be a team that plays in the Final Four? Sure. They have a chance. I could just as easily see them stubbing their toe because every year they have a chance and they run into Wisconsin and then that's the end of it. And Wisconsin's not any good this year or as good. So we're going to get into that as the show moves along. The MLS yesterday met in San Diego. So what does this mean? I am the only guy that is talking about soccer in Arizona. I'm the only guy that is talking about the MLS and us getting a fifth sport here in Arizona. I am the only one. This has been the case for the last 3 years. I'm the only one that's going to dedicate any time on my website to when stuff goes down on this front. I'm not sitting here saying, look at us. I'm just saying that we have to get serious here in Arizona. Because in San Diego yesterday, the commissioner of the MLS showed up. And the San Diego Union-Tribune, the newspaper of record, wrote two columns about the MLS showing up yesterday. Last week, when Phoenix Rising announced that they have are put in an application to be considered for expansion, it barely got a blip in Phoenix, barely got a mention, barely got a notice. What we have here is usually when something becomes trendy or something becomes more up top, then we start seeing assignments given towards it. Well, no, we should all be bonding together on this one. You tell me, would it be bad to have a fifth major sport in our state? No. There's business leaders, from my understanding, behind the scenes that are all angling on this deal. They all want to know about the stadium that Phoenix Rising is putting together. Why have they not turned over a shovel of dirt yet? I don't know. It's probably time to have Burke Bakai back on. But last night, and actually the last 2 days, Don Garber, the president of the MLS, has been in San Diego. Juan Carlos Rodriguez. Juan Carlos Rodriguez, if you don't know that name, you should. Juan Carlos Rodriguez is the president of Univision. He is now involved with the ownership of and group, the group rather, I should say, the group of businessmen and investors and companies to bring the MLS to San Diego. The MLS is going to expand for the 25th and 26th teams by 2020. So when you have the president of Univision who says, you know, I think soccer in San Diego is going to work. We're over here in Phoenix, and I think expanding San Diego and Phoenix together would be very smart. Be very, very smart. Would make a lot of regional sense. Grab the Southwest, grab the West, easy travel. You can have the Galaxy come over here as they do right now for Phoenix Rising. You can have the Sounders come down here and then go over to San Diego. Beautiful time of year when they play, when it's miserable here in the middle of summer, go play an extended road trip in San Diego and LA and Seattle and beat the heat. You can do all that. But you have to have vision and you have to have leaders. And so there's this nice group of people that have put it together that they've purchased Phoenix Rising. They want to put a stadium together. But I don't see the president of the MLS flying out and having a ceremony and talking about the expansion process here in Phoenix. And it does bother me. I might be the only one, or there may be many of you are like me that are saying having soccer here would be a big deal. So I'm going to get on that a little bit more because I'm bothered that we don't have more civic involvement. It's nice and political involvement. There's a very good group, and I think a deep group that is put together right now. But when I saw the story yesterday and had some friends call me and said, yeah, the president of the MLS is over here. I don't see the president of the MLS flying on into Phoenix and holding a press conference and having people show up. That's not good. And the Suns played last night in front of family and friends. I mean, there was nobody there. The old line of they introduced the fans before the players, there was nobody at that game last night. And they got drilled. They lost us by 21. Mike Conley had 38. But the story of the night was Charles and LeBron. LeBron calling Charles Barkley a hater and going into some, I'll read some of the quotes from LeBron a little bit later. But on the other side, we'll have Jason Jewell and Jordan Hamm in studio. National Letter of Intent Day is tomorrow. We'll do a deep dive into Arizona State, Arizona statewide recruiting, and everything around Letter of Intent. We'll have that on the other side. And then we'll get into LeBron and Charles. Eric's out at the golf course with Larry Fitzgerald, so we're doing it all today on sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. We'll be at a lot of different places, lots of content up on the website. As you guys know, we do it day in and day out, around the clock, throughout the year. And, of course, Jordan Hamm and Jason Jewell, both a big part of it. Jason, the dean of recruiting. People call Jason on other websites and they'll say, hey, what's going on? And they'll, because Jason's a good guy, even though he's got this sketch beard going, we got to find out about that in a second. And he'll give them the info and then they won't credit him. Guys, come on, work at this. He's the guy. He's the guy. Okay. You're not, he's the guy. So that's my little rant because I go crazy this time of year. All right, Austin Jackson tomorrow. Where's he going, Jason?
USC.
Jordan?
USC.
No question, huh?
I don't think so. His grandpa played there. I think it's a no-brainer.
What type of blow is this to ASU's class? Or do they knew they had no shot?
Well, I think they thought they had a shot. And I think one of the biggest blows was when Chris Thompson, their offensive line coach, left to go to TCU. So I know in talking to Austin, he was a big Chris Thompson fan. So I think that really hurt. But it also hurts because, you know, they didn't end up going after Jax Wacacer, another highly recruited offensive tackle from Sora High School. So they end up getting, you know, neither guy.
What do you make out of this year's class in-state? The guys are getting in-state, Jordan.
I think that the in-state guys are it's a very strong class. You have plenty of talent around the state that's getting looks from these big-time programs. Arizona State's bringing in a lot of talent. Their U of A is bringing in quite a few playmakers from inside the state. So I think this is a very deep year for the state of Arizona.
Okay, last second commit over the weekend, a tight end from Yuma. Jason.
Yeah, Yuma, Cibola High School, Mark Walton. We know Yuma's not a hotbed for talent down there. You know, it's been a while since there's been a Division I guy. Matt Pistone signs with Boise State a few years ago. But Walton, 6'5", 230 pounds, very good outside linebacker as well. Tight end prospect that was the leading receiver amongst tight ends in the state of Arizona. His recruitment, you know, was
under the radar.
Yeah. His only offer was South Dakota State 3 weeks ago. He has a visit there, cancels it, and next thing you know, he's tripping to Vanderbilt. Florida Atlantic offers him. He takes a trip there. San Diego State offers him. And then he comes to Arizona State without an offer, and he ends up getting one on the visit and takes it.
Well, how does this happen? I mean, we're in this day and age where tapes everywhere, huddles everywhere, all these websites are everywhere. We all know these players inside and out. How does this happen, Jordan? You're part of that deal, too.
You know, this is something that we've seen almost with Jax Wacacer that Jason mentioned. At the start of the season, he had a similar trajectory where he was racking in 20 to 25 offers here in the span of a few months. But I've never really seen a scenario where it's a few weeks where this really explodes for him. So I think, you know, one offer or one visit can kind of really get the ball rolling. And then, you know, the snowball effect starts to happen and other big time programs are looking. So I think that might be the case where it kind of started with Vanderbilt. And then these other schools, especially the one right in his backyard, was taking a look at him.
So we have Jordan Hamm, we have Jason Jewell. Their content is up on the website. Of course, Jason, the Dean of Recruiting, the Rock and Refuel Recruiting Roundup, big part of Sports360AZ.com. U of A is only bringing in Rhett Rodriguez as the only quarterback in this year's class. And I'm not taking a shot at Rhett Rodriguez, but they had a quarterback out on the West Coast, didn't come here. They were chasing a quarterback out in Florida, didn't come here. What are you expecting, Jason, tomorrow out of U of A and Rich Rod's mouth about his class? Because not just a quarterback, they've taken a lot of hits.
Yeah, a lot of the poachers came out and raided them here towards the very, very end, had some kids committed, and, you know, ended up not landing them, you know, eventually. But, you know, I think they've done a solid job, not as good as Arizona State's in class, but they're bringing in some guys. You know, Drew Dixon is a quarterback from Sabino. I project him as more of a wide receiver, you know, at the next level. But, you know, getting him and then Bryce Gilbert from Higley High School is a guy that I think was very underrated. Didn't play hardly at all this season because of an injury, but is already on campus. I think he's going to end up being a big-time tight end for them down in Tucson.
What's your view of what you're hearing around U of A?
I mean, it was a thing where they had a really hot start at the start of this recruiting cycle, and then they just began to hemorrhage recruits. And it was the top flight guys. It was their guys that they were hanging their hat on, and just kind of one by one they started to go. It seemed like that has since stopped. Mike King Johnson helped getting that commitment. We'll see what happens with Jalen Harris. He's a longtime Arizona commit, just visited Notre Dame. It seemed like Notre Dame really closed the gap there, and he's still up in the air on where he's going to end up going. Mm-hmm. They have playmakers coming in, and they definitely all the momentum they had at the start of the year, definitely they've kind of stumbled as we get to the home stretch, just losing those recruits to other programs.
Okay, 24 hours away from letters coming in, where are we at with flips? Who's thinking of flipping? Are we going to have a lot of flips? Guys backing away from commitments here in state.
Yeah, there's been more than I can ever remember. We talk about Chandler running back T.J. Green flipping from Oregon State to Utah. Sean Stewart's at Saguaro. You know, he's committed to Boise State, but then UCLA and Arizona State jump in and offer him, and he's yet to decide. And then I'm hearing Jared Poplawski over at Saguaro could flip from Arizona State to Colorado. He took a last-minute visit. So those are three, you know, that could happen here pretty quick.
And my understanding is Ryan Kelly is going to stay. So I think that one, there'd been a lot of talk. We had Chris Cartman on the show this last week on his end, and he thought there was something there. I talked to the mom and actually the quarterback on that one, and he's going to stay. So I don't see that one flipping around. You hear anything on the flipping front?
I mean, really, the one that I'm going to be keeping an eye on isn't really an in-state guy, but it has a tie to an in-state program, and that's Bubba Bolden, the Army All-American. He committed to USC. He's best friends with Alex Perry, who's an Arizona State commit, younger brother of Armon Perry.
Got it.
And so he was very high on ASU, but it seems like everything that we've heard, the parents really want him to go to USC. But I think that a flip could potentially happen. I'm not going to say that it's a guarantee, but that's mm-hmm. one I would keep an eye on tomorrow.
Guys that you look at around the state, and you can go through more than one, because we got time here to do it, that you look at and you say, wow, this kid was under-recruited and is going to make it at the next level and really take off with it. Jason, let's start with you.
I'm an offensive line guy. I played it in college, so I'm going to stick with my wheelhouse. It's going to be Sean Seward, Saguaro High School. This is a guy, he's at Boulder Creek as a junior, playing defensive tackle. And I talked to Coach Mons about this. His junior tape is not good. I thought it was, he was a Division II player as a defensive tackle at Boulder Creek. He goes to Saguaro. He moves to the offensive line. And he gets, you know, some solid offers. He gets all the academies, Army, Navy, Air Force. He gets those. Then Boise State jumps in after seeing his senior film, which is fantastic. He's a kid that's 6'4", he weighs 320 pounds. He can really run for a big kid. He's a mauler. And so he commits to Boise, gets UCLA, gets Arizona State. And this is a guy, I think, down the road ends up being a three-year starter at a Power 5 program.
You got one?
Yeah, I think it's Chase Court, Sunrise Mountain quarterback. He's a big-time playmaker, a dual-threat guy, and he started since he was a sophomore and has put up just huge numbers on the ground, in the air, but there weren't a ton of offers coming. I think that Boise State got an absolute steal in him, and he could be the QB of the future for the Broncos.
Okay, so I have a question here before we wrap this up, and because it is on the stream, you guys can see this. Both these dudes are trying to grow something on their faces, and you know, Jason's over here smiling about it. What is this? Is this a good luck charm for you, or?
So I'm not a fan of my gray beard, okay? I'm only 38 years old, but I look like I'm 50. The reason I have it is I feel that I've gained some traction here in recruiting. I coach at Glendale Community College.
He walks into the room, and the dad says, "That's my guy." And
it's distinguished.
It's my superstition, you know? Athletes have superstitions. They eat certain things before. I'm a former athlete as well. I'm not a like doughboy now, but
wow.
But on Wednesday, if the right letters of intent come in, I'm shaving this thing off.
And if they don't, well, no, you'll be Methuselah.
Big bearded guy next week. I look like Duck Dynasty.
And what's your story? I mean, that thing looks like it got shot and just wrapped around your face. What's the deal
it's
there?
It's an act of solidarity with my Rock and Refuel recruiting roundup co-host. Yeah.
You have no gray going yet. Maybe as time goes with you.
A few more years.
All right. Good stuff there. On the other side, so I'm going to talk more about Charles Barkley and what's going on with he and LeBron. I've never seen LeBron just lose his mind like he did last night. And also Larry Fitzgerald's out at the Waste Management Open. Eric's out there as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to Jason and Jordan swinging on in the studio today. It's always fun just to have people drop on in. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Charles Barkley and LeBron James are in the news cycle today, and it's more LeBron than Charles. This was by Dave McMahon. If you have not heard the LeBron James quotes, and you're wondering why on Twitter here by mid-morning, why LeBron James is once again trending and why Charles Barkley is trending, it's because LeBron finally went off. So when you have a situation where a guy sits there on television and for months and months and months, and he says things about your play, and Charles has been very complimentary of LeBron James. He's been very complimentary of them. But I just think LeBron is somebody that is self-absorbed and has his little group around him. I'm not there every day. Obviously, I'm not even there one day. But from a distance, when I see what's going on, that there's always something. It's not like Carmelo Anthony drives me crazy with how everything's about Carmelo and it's everybody's fault but his. And he puts up a 13 for 31 and, you know, he pounds nails into the floor, just dribble, 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 dribble. LeBron's terrific to watch in the open court. He's a lot of fun. But Charles said this last week talking about LeBron James needing to fortify the roster with another playmaker to have a realistic shot at repeating for a title. Of course, I brought up Eric Bledsoe's situation out here, and some of you get it, most of you don't. It's fine. Just my view. Same agent, they're really tight. Bledsoe's going to be out of here as soon as his contract expires in 2.5 years, no matter what people say. He's not going to be here. So you can write all you want how great he is. He's not the answer. He's not the solution. He may be part of the solution by moving him now and getting a lot of people here. Regardless. So Barkley says, inappropriate, whiny, all of the above in response to LeBron taking the roster of the Cavaliers to task. This is Charles Barkley quoting last week. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they've given him everything he wanted. They have the highest payroll in NBA history. He wanted J.R. Smith last summer. They paid him. He wanted Shumpert last season. They brought in Kyle Korver. He's the best player in the world. Does he want all the good players? He don't want to compete. He's an amazing player. They're the defending champs. So by saying that, he's admitting, Charles is not slamming LeBron James for talent and greatest player and all that. He's just questioning, why do you need to go out and continue to work over the team to add to the roster? Barkley also was with Bill Simmons over the summer and said that LeBron would never ascend to top five status in NBA history. Never. He would never be better than Michael Jordan, Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Wilt Chamberlain, and going all the way to 2010 and James, the Decision television special. You can get on that one. Charles told ESPN Radio that it was a punk move for James to leave the Cavs to take up with the Miami Heat. So here's what James said last night that has the world just spinning around, the sports world spinning around today. And mercifully, thankfully, we don't have to sit here and talk about Atlanta against New England for another day and another day and another day. This is actually very interesting. And I'm sure Adam Silver's thrilled that LeBron and Charles have bumped Super Bowl off of the main platform of people's interest today in sports. This is the story of the day. LeBron James said last night, quote, "I'm not going to let him disrespect my legacy like that. I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Las Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up at All-Star Weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done for my entire season is represent my entire career is represent the NBA the right way. 14 years, never got in trouble, respected the game. Print that." "Go watch the 93 finals when John Paxson hit the shot," James said. "Barkley and Jordan were laughing and joking with each other during one of the games while somebody shooting a free throw in the finals. But, oh, nobody were friends back then." So he's decided that he wants to go after Charles. And if I were to look at this on the surface, Charles is going to respond. And I imagine that it will be fascinating to hear his response on this, because I think LeBron's in the wrong on this deal. I think he's flat wrong on this deal. You can go down the path of, I don't agree with him, but when you cross the line and you make it personal and you start reciting things that happened 20 years ago, things that happened off the court, things that are private in some spaces and cases. If you don't respect him for his career, and he went further saying he's got to sit up on that. LeBron went further and had a quote about Charles has got to just sit up there and do TV. I think he's implying that Charles needs to do this because of the money. That's how it came across to me. So he finished by saying, I'm tired of biting my tongue. There's a new sheriff in town. So I don't know who the old sheriff was. I don't know that. I don't know what that quote exactly means. What does it mean to other people? What does it mean to other players within the league? Is Kevin Durant not a sheriff? Is Steph Curry not a sheriff? Is Klay Thompson not a sheriff? It's kind of funny how the Cleveland Cavaliers have had this aura about them. It's not been a good one. There's been a segment of the population that has not liked the Cavaliers. Not the most likable group. But there was a lot of backlash, if we remember last summer, towards Kevin Durant going to Golden State. And the Golden State was getting criticized and ripped from head to toe. Well, now I don't see anybody looking that direction. This is LeBron being upset with his roster. This is Charles sitting at a desk and saying, I don't like the way he's going about his business. And it comes across as whiny, which, by the way, I think it does. Which the Cavaliers this last week, I would imagine David Griffin and people within the Cavaliers organization outwardly are going to support LeBron, but privately, I would think, would have a little bit of, you know, Charles is right on this. To say that he disrespects his career, that LeBron believes that Charles is disrespecting his career. I don't see that. I don't hear that. Do you hear that? Is that disrespecting when Charles calls him out for being inappropriate, complaining about the roster? Has LeBron James been stewing the past few days about the way that the roster has been laid out? Has he been upset that Charles took him to task? The guy's a four-time MVP, and he calls Charles Barkley a hater. He's a hater. There's more quotes to this, too, that I want to... I don't know if I'm going to get that far. I'm looking at this saying, LeBron's wrong. Charles is right. It's really the ball's in Charles's court now. Me and the way that I think, just so you guys know, I think this is all contrived stuff. And in a lot of cases, I know this one's 100% contrived, but I'm sure the NBA is just loving the fact that guys like myself and people across the country are writing, tweeting, texting, can you believe this feud between LeBron and Charles Barkley? The NFL's not had a great season by any stretch, and now it's their marquee game, and they're knocked off. They're still on page one, but they're not the big story today. I mean, it's Tom Brady getting emotional over some kid asking him about what about the influence of your dad, and that's making it on the shows. It just tells you all you need to know. This is just a bunch of filling time towards a game on Sunday, and that's it. Super Bowl's not the biggest thing. It may be to some. Try to play it out like that. It's fine. Larry Fitzgerald over at the golf course, he just finished up out there. Eric just sent me a text while we're sitting here talking. Fitz whisked away in a golf cart, no media Q&A, so which is not a surprise. So he's out there at the Open. He'll be playing in the Pro-Am tomorrow. I'm sure tomorrow will be much the same deal. Everybody wanting to hear what Larry Fitzgerald, if you believe Larry Fitzgerald's going to say, I am retiring while he's on a golf course, then you really don't know Larry Fitzgerald. That's not the way it works. This will be Madison Avenue when he decides to walk away from it. It will be. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Back with more after this timeout. So Bubba Watson, Larry Fitzgerald finishing up out at the Waste Management Open. There'll be a putting contest with a bunch of athletes, celebs, stars coming up at 11 a.m. out at the Open. Tomorrow we'll be out there for the Pro-Am. I'll be here in studio, but we'll have a staff out there. Tomorrow, National Letter of Intent Day. Don't know if there'll be many flips. You heard Jason and Jordan earlier on all things recruiting. There's plenty of content, though, up on the website at sports360az.com, sports360az.com. Chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Edwin Rodriguez is in today as an intern. He hasn't screwed things up, has he? No, not yet. Doesn't like move the lights the wrong way or any of that stuff. It's good. It's good. It's always good to have people that aspire to be in this business and move forward with it. One other thing I want to circle back on in today's show, and that is we've gone through the Suns, gone through the Open, gone through LeBron. little bit about the Super Bowl. Just, you know, it's game week, and as we get closer to the weekend, I'll bring on the usual suspects, the Vaqueros from Vegas and all that. And Brent Musburger is going to announce today his new platform. He's going to be doing a show, a gambling show over on Sirius. That's why he's leaving. Tonight will be Brent Musburger's last night as a broadcaster. He's going to be with Jay Billis doing a game over on ESPN. So that is going on tonight, too. And the Coyotes are in action tonight at home against the LA Kings. Coyotes have won three in a row. Do you trade Mike Smith? It's just something to throw out there because they're not going to win a title in the next couple of years, but you could get a handsome haul. Or do you trade Shane Doan? Or do you just roll this out? I know the kids are playing hard, but let's be realistic here. One other thing I'm going to circle back on, and that is the story I briefly touched on earlier about, because this is significant to me. I'm a guy that's all about seeing progress here in Arizona. That's what I've been from day one coming here. I want to see things be better on a sports front, from a community front. I think the two go hand in hand. I'm really concerned right now with the state of where we're at with the buildings of teams and the building, not just on the field, but also off the field and where they're going to play. Doesn't matter if it's Diamondbacks looking to move to the 101, 202, the lawsuit with Maricopa County, none of that stuff's good. The Suns have a product out on the floor that's not very good. Last night I thought they looked like they checked out. It was one of the few games where it looked to me like they just didn't care. And Earl Watson's doing the best he can do, but you know he's in a sword fight with a piece of spaghetti. You know, wherever Robert ends up putting the team, or if he even entertains offers of moving the team out of the state, wouldn't surprise me in the least. Not happy about that. Football team's in pretty good shape. We'll see what happens with Larry. We'll see what happens with Carson. I do think the two are joined together. But they're a team that's, I would say the window is still open for them because they can turn around and hand the football off. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that one out. And they have a high first-round pick. The hockey team, if they can just please turn some dirt over in Tempe to make me believe that they've got it figured out, I don't want to see them leave, but I think fans are fatigued by that, even though they've got a nice young group that's come together. Okay? That leads us over to Arizona State and U of A. They both have facility issues. One athletic director left. The other's got to get the stadium deal pushed through. There's some people that are becoming uncomfortable now with ASU not getting their stadium thing pushed through as quickly as they would like. The coach is on the hot seat for football, both in Tempe and in Tucson. Okay, that sums it up in a nutshell. And that leads me over to the fifth major. So we are a community that has tried many, many times. There's been many good people and some not so good that have tried to place a soccer franchise here in Phoenix that would be statewide. Tucson has one that's done well for itself, but they're not going to be an MLS franchise. That's never going to happen. As I see where we are right now, we need some political leaders to step forward because in the last 2 weeks, this stuff goes at light speed, okay? This stuff goes very fast, very, very fast. In the last 2 weeks, we've had the soccer franchise here, Phoenix Rising FC, announce that they are being considered as an expansion group. They've got to have everything together by the end of this year. And I have yet to see somebody on a political front step up and say, we've got to get behind this. Now, I understand timing is everything. And with Donald Trump taking over and with the wall being built in Arizona and with all the political stuff going on, the last thing that some people want to be associated with is sports. That's just a fact. But if we want this to happen, just look at what's gone on in San Diego in the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, they lost the Chargers. A group of business people that are well-heeled, that have finances, have come together. The commissioner of the MLS has flown out to San Diego. He did so Sunday. He was there yesterday. They brought in the president of Univision as one of their investors. That's just been announced. And they're going to announce by next year, the MLS is, if they're going to have another franchise or two franchises, the 25th and 26th overall. I would like to see the president of the MLS come here to Phoenix and explain his position. I think many of you watching or taking this in would agree with me. This would not be a bad thing. Doesn't matter to me if you like soccer, don't like soccer. It's like NASCAR in the announcement earlier this week about the track renovation going on at PIR. That's very important. Casa Grande looking at adding a NASCAR track down there, a racetrack down there. It's very important to us. At some point in time, the Waste Management Open is going to look The Phoenix Open is going to look at playing at an alternate course than where they're presently at TPC Scottsdale. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bob Parsons float that out there. I reported yesterday Phil Mickelson is looking at buying a golf course with Spike Lawrence down at Ocotillo. So there's a lot of business going on. Guys, it does impact you. If you don't think it impacts your quality of life out here, having sports franchises is important. It's not the most important thing, but it all works together. Same thing with arts, same thing with entertainment. And when we have fighting going on over facilities, and we have teams that could leave if the right group comes along, or we have a nice, well-intentioned group of people that want to bring a sport here to Phoenix, I would like to see more community support. I would like to see the local business guy step up and say, you know what? I may only have one little restaurant over here, but I want to be involved. I want to get involved. I want to meet these people because it's going to help my out my one little restaurant or the little training facility or whatever it is. So this is my little rant that, you know, and I'll probably write about this too because I feel passionate about it. I'm passionate every day about doing this. And I'm passionate about the state. And I think we're just kind of lollygagging around saying, oh, well, you know, we got all these things going on. But no, this needs to happen in a hurry. Some people have got to, they've gotten to the MLS. They said, you could be a part of it. Okay, let's follow up because San Diego's at light speed ahead of us. That's my thing. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out at Sports360AZ.com. We are Arizona centric. Our TV show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat Football AZ, of 7 airings tonight, 7 tomorrow, 4 on Thursday. We appreciate their partnership. And thanks for being with us.